Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, Ascension Day Special Edition Next Step. He has ascended, yes. We are 40 days after Easter, celebrating today and coming into your homes with this podcast. This is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at the fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that Polish Armadoxy, and we invite you to take a look with us, to take the next step with us. This is part of the expanding vision of the Inner Shoes mission. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Hey, so good to have you with us today. It is Ascension Thursday, 40 days exactly after Easter. And on that day, he ascended. Christ ascended to heaven. And before going, he gave this incredible commission. It's incredible, you know why? Because it's a commission, well, to spread the love, to spread the good news. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. Go out there. Preach to all the people of the world. Preach to them. Tell them all that I have taught you." Well, what did I teach you? I taught you love. Teach people about love. And baptize them. Let them know they're part of the family. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember this, I'm going to be with you until the close of the age. I'm always with you. That is incredible. Right? An incredible promise from our Lord Jesus Christ, an incredible promise from the author of life, an incredible promise about love. Love is always with you, right? Jesus is love. There you go. He is always with us. Love is always with us till the close of the age. You cannot imagine a time when love is not with you. So now what you need to do, since love is with us, we need to plug into that love. Well, that's what we do over here. That's what this podcast is about. You know, those of you who have been taking these next steps with us, you're going to maybe get tired. I hope you don't get tired of me repeating it, but I always am encouraged by the email we get from our neophytes, the group that just discovers us. So I have to, reiterate. I have to say this a few times. What are we doing over here? What is Armadoxy all about? Well, the ancient faith, Armenian Orthodoxy, it goes back to the time of Christ, when two of those disciples, having heard Jesus's big commission to go into the world, two of them, namely Thaddeus and Bartholomew, sometimes known as Jude Thaddeus, and Bartholomew is also recognized as Nathanael, these two apostles, these were disciples, now they've become apostles, ones who were sent, went to Armenia, and they brought Christianity. So when we call the Armenian Church, the Armenian Apostolic Church, is descriptive of this act that the apostles brought the light of Christ to Armenia. And so here in this remote area, in this, well, geographically unusual area, where the crossroads of three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, all coming together, this Christianity began to not only find a life, but it flourished. It flourished. Even in its underground state, there were 10 chief bishops of the church until St. Gregory the Illuminator came. Now, he came in the 4th century, very early 4th century, 301. Now, I say all this because a lot of times we talk about the Armenian Orthodox faith. We talk about the Armenian Church faith, the Armenian Apostolic faith. But we always talk about it in terms of history. And what we discount is our participation in that history. Okay? We discount, and sometimes we completely ignore, our participation in the whole. Like, okay, I'm all for the history. You need to have that backing. You need to have the foundation. You need to know what the church fathers were all about, what they taught, what they brought to the table. But don't forget, you're a part of it too. I was a young student in elementary school, and I remember we had a field trip someplace, and one of the teachers took us out. It was like a foresty area. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I do remember a lot of grass, a lot of beautiful trees. And the teacher said, "All right, everybody be quiet. Let's try to listen to all the different sounds." And we started listening. You could hear the brook way out there in the distance. You could hear the birds chirping. You started hearing all of the trees rustling, the leaves rustling, right? So many beautiful sounds. You could hear out in the distance a little dog barking. And then some goofball in the class, you know, obviously has to get up and make some kind of noise, you know? Can't remember what it was. I want to say it was a sneeze, just an obnoxious sneeze, you know, and just like let it all out. And the teacher got upset. The teacher said, "Quiet," as she would normally do, right? Quiet, not just quiet, quiet. I'm so dramatic. You can tell I'm going on a very little sleep these days. Anyway, so the teacher reprimanded that child. I'll never forget. It was one of our classmates. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because in subsequent years when I've been at different places, especially during my nature years, when I would go out to these beautiful scenes out in nature and just enjoy God's beauty all around me, I always recollect, I'd always remember this one incident about the teacher saying quiet to that child. I think her quiet was just as loud as the sneeze. And obviously the sneeze was intended to be obnoxious. It was intended to disrupt the sanctity of the moment, right? But here's what I want to offer you. That child who sneezed was just as much a part of that environment. Our talking was just as much a part of that environment. True, disruptive, but still it was a part. And we are a part of our collective history. You can't just say Armenian Orthodoxy is history alone, or people in the past. No, you have arrived. You are a member of that beautiful chain we call the church, with the first link on that chain being Jesus Christ, and each of the apostles linking on to that and coming all the way through the centuries to us today. And you are as legitimate as any other of the links on that chain. And if you're really legitimate, you need to be able to be open enough to have the next group, the next link, latch on to you. Well, how? Because you are part of that chain. You are just as valid. And I'm not trying to give ourselves extra credit today, but what I'm saying is that we are thinking, we are part of the world today, and we have something to say about the faith there. Now, those of you who listen to the next step, you know that I do a lot of going back into history, finding these people here and there, but also equally is our witness to the faith is just as important to bring into the equation. Last Sunday, it was Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. I don't know, did you go to Armenian church? If you were at an Armenian church, I would bet, especially here in America, I would bet that, and I want to tell you, I'm not a gambling man, but I won't tell you that. Am I getting myself in trouble? Okay. I want to tell you that I would bet that in the sermon, there was no connection between the evolution of Obama, President Obama, that he evolved to the point of accepting gay marriage, and the idea that we were congregated Sunday morning on Mother's Day. I mean, think about it. The institution of marriage, which has given rise to what we call mothers and motherhood, right? It's in the context of marriage that we understand that, and now marriage has been expanded to include, well, non-gender. So in other words, you could be a father who's doing mother. And we know a lot of people like that, right, in just reality. Many fathers, single parents, who are raising their children as mothers, as we know many women who are raising their children as men. But now we're talking about the union of same-sex couples. And I talked about it on Next Step last week. Interestingly enough, the responses that we got overwhelmingly felt like I copped out on it. And I don't know, I guess I wasn't as clear as I should have been, but it wasn't. a cop-out. It was just, this is the way I saw it. This was my interpretation, and it is. It's, at what point do we understand that this is a political issue that's going on? And it's not just about Obama getting votes. It's about getting our heads out of things that are important, getting our attention and our minds off of the death of children, the death of innocence, all around us, and focusing in on something internally. Well, it's one of those hot-button items, and we'll see if it costs votes. It's obviously going to cost somewhere along the way, but here's the point. The political issue in same-sex marriage and heterosexual, homosexual marriage and the debate it's fueled in the last couple weeks, the political ramifications of this are that people are not talking about war in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Oh, yeah, yeah, 2 weeks ago it was the anniversary of Osama's death. They killed Osama on May 1st last year. Yes, we were very scared, what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, all the world's attention is on Al-Qaeda and talking about what's happening in the war on terrorism. We get another bomb dropped, and we're talking now all of a sudden about homosexual marriage. And Newsweek magazine with this cover, Obama, our first gay president. So people are talking about that. And there's people making money off of the decals, off of the posters. And you really wonder who's being served. Who is being served at the end of the day? So when I spoke last week on the next step, the way I did, and brought to focus the John 21 passage, it wasn't to pass the buck. It wasn't to ignore a situation. It's really to say, put it in perspective. What's it to you what people are doing? And that's what came out of that John 21 passage. Okay, Peter's looking around and he's saying, hey, what about that guy? And Jesus says, that's my business. What's it to you? You follow me. So when we're talking about homosexual relationships, when we're talking about marriages, where are we in our relationships with our spouses? Where are we in our relationship with our children? I mean, think about it for a moment. This is what it comes down to, right? Are we giving the best? Or are we finding the speck in other people's eyes without discovering the log in our own eye? Very, very important. What you make out of marriage is really not just the words. It's not about just the symbolism there. It's actually living it. It's creating the sanctity for your family. This is a difficult one. It's a difficult one for everyone, because the bottom line is not just the vow that you take. It's about creating that environment where your children have security. Your children have the openness to think, to express themselves, to really actualize the potential that God has given them. Because in the final analysis, right, as parents, what is your obligation? Your obligation as parents is to your children, for them to become complete, for them to find the goodness that God has given them. So it's very complicated, and you're not going to just end it by some cliche statement that's saying, okay, I believe in this kind of marriage, or just the opposite. You know, what's that one that the evangelists use about Steve or something? Oh, it's not Adam and Steve or something like that. I forgot exactly how it goes. But some ridiculous statement like that, like, let's bring it down to just a couple words and kind of analyze this whole thing. So in the same way, last week's next step, that's what we tried to do. We tried to give it a broader perspective of really pointing the finger back to us. What are we doing with our lives? So we get back to the theme of relevance. So we come back full circle and we say that, okay, well, what is this armadoxy all about? Well, it's really simple. It's really simple. It's about becoming a part of that faith, making that faith real in our lives today, so that it's talking to our lives, so that it affects our lives, so that when I say that Christ is love incarnate, Christ is the manifestation of love, And I have now accepted that love. I have accepted that Christ. Well, what does that make me? It makes me an agent of that love. I need to reflect that love in everything that I do. And the teaching of the church has always been this love. If we have lost sight of that, then that's our fault. But the original church, including until today, has had only one absolute mission. And that mission is, it's basically put in that Great Commission. Go therefore to all the world, preach to them all that I have commanded you. Okay, what are the commandments? 10 commandments? What did Jesus command us? There were the 10 commandments, remember? And the 10 commandments were a summary of the larger body of commandments, something like, 602 laws and regulations and commandments in the Old Testament. So the 10 is really summarizing all of those, the big 10. And then when they came down to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus didn't even hesitate, right? You know, these guys were thinking that he was going to pull something out of his hat and say that, oh, I think the greatest commandment is do not kill. Or they thought maybe he'd take a positive approach and say, the greatest commandment is honor your father and mother. Or how about don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain? Or how about do not steal? Do not commit adultery. They thought that he would just like pull one of these commandments. And what does Jesus say? He says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. On this one commandment, all of the other laws and commandments are built. And the second highest commandment is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Whoa! This is it. Bottom line. Love. Love the Lord your God. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you're not going to be doing the rest of the, well, quote-unquote bad things, right? If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to be loving, caring. You're going to have compassion. So think about that for a moment. Especially on Ascension Thursday. Jesus says, go therefore, teach all the nations everything that I have commanded you. What is the commandment? Love. So on Ascension Thursday, he reiterates, and we as the church need to bear witness to that, that there is one commandment that we have to be obedient to, love. And on this one commandment, everything else is built. It is the foundation on which he says, I am with you till the end of the ages. And this is not only the foundation of our faith, this is our faith. Love, it's the highest ideal. And if you can do that in your life, then you have the right, as Jesus says, you take out the log in your own eye, so you could see the little speck in your brother's eyes. The reason I'm bringing all this up is, well, again, the discussion. Here was Mother's Day. Did we talk about it in these terms? Did we talk about love in these terms? And Armodoxy is that challenge, really to look beyond all of the framework, to look beyond all of the hoopla that we have and say, you know what, there is a pure faith there. That pure faith has been expressed in the Orthodox tradition, yes, throughout history, but now it's arrived to me and I am that link. And I better make sure that I'm a strong link on that chain, because you know what they say about chains, they're as strong as the weakest link. I'm not going to be that weak link, because I know that attached to me are going to be other links. Links coming up. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure that I'm strong enough, that my faith is complete, that my faith is whole. Looking within. And it's on that we're going to build the rest of today's show. We've got a great show in store for you. And we are at the point where we play the song of the day. Let me tell you, something great's going to come up in a few minutes. We're going to also tell you about, well, an opportunity. I hope you're ready for that, too. How would you like to be a guest on this show? How would you like to have dinner with the whole gang over here? Okay, I'm talking about Susie, about Ken, about Vahe, about Linda, Ani, and me. And then be on the show. Is that cool? Coming up in a few minutes. We start off every week with the song of the day. And we're already into 20 minutes of the show, so it's hard to say we're starting it off. So let's just say, here is today's song of the day. Now, how was that? You will never, ever hear that anywhere else except here on The Next Step, because it is a private, personal recording. That's right. Back in 1996, that is a small little interlude from Armin Dikranyan's Anush opera. And I wanted to play that because back in 1996 it was, up in Cupertino, California, St. Andrew Armenian Church, we actually performed the Anush opera. That piano was either played by Viola Chupek, a very good friend, or her husband, Benjamin Chupek, one or the other. I'm not sure, because we had dueling pianos that evening set up in the church, and the flautist in this version was Marine Huntsman. Now, yes, she got married a couple of years ago. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that, because I really love it, and it was a snappy little piece. I wanted to play it especially today. Anush opera, of course, is a very... it's a beloved opera for the Armenian people. But let me tell you, the words to it come from Hovhannes Tumanyan. And Tumanyan wrote this epic poem called Anush. And he wrote it back in the late 19th century, 1890s, he wrote it. And in it, he characterizes a small village girl and a young man and a woman who actually fall in love. And because of old rituals and practices, they end up in this tragedy with the girl's brother and killing and suicide. It's a tragedy, and the way it unfolds, it revolves around old ancient customs. Not only customs, but customs of shame. In Armenian, the word is amot. This is a big one. It's a heavy-duty one in Armenian. And basically, it is the shame factor. And they would give in. They would put aside reason and logic. Instead, they would take shame as the way of life. And so you have this situation where Anush, the star of the poem, she is in love with a young man named Saro. And Saro and Anush's brother, they engage in a small little wrestling match, all in good fun. But little does Saro know that he's supposed to let the brother, Mosi, win this match. And he doesn't. And so Mosi is disgraced, shamed. Amot is Mosi, says the song, says the poem. And because of this, we see that he ends up killing Saro at the end. You see Anush going insane and actually commits suicide. Now, you're going to say, like, by today's standards, of course, you say, like, what? You commit suicide because of a wrestling match? No, it's way deeper than that. It's about these ancient traditions which overtake your logic and your senses. And while you may think that that is weird, it is just as weird as all the stuff that religion throws out at us when we talk about some of these superstitious ideas that we have. Superstitious in the sense that they are just beyond logic. And so what we try to do here on Armadoxy is really show that, you know, a person who is called to faith doesn't need to leave his brain or check in his brain at the door. Doesn't need to forego logic and reason. They're not mutually exclusive of one another. No, you can have faith. And faith is really, if you open your eyes, you start seeing that the senses are so dull that back in 1970, it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He has a beautiful, beautiful poem written about a duckling and how he brings it down to really, you know, try to create one of those little feathers on the tiny duckling's back. And you can't. You can't create that in a test tube. And at some point, you need to rely on faith. And as we're seeing, as the universe is unfolding, think about 100 years ago, what we knew about the universe and how much more we know now. And think about Hubble in his experiments in the 1920s. And really seeing that, you know, not only is our galaxy not the universe, but our galaxy is one of many galaxies. And so a lot of times people come up to me and they say, oh, I don't believe in God. Okay, well, you know, you're telling me that in your small little brain that's, you know, the size of a fist up in your head, you've already deciphered that all the knowledge in the universe, you know, tells you that there is no God. No. You've got to be open to the possibilities, and that's where faith comes in. That's where it says that, hey, I'm a human being, and I'm trying to reason. I think, therefore, I am in the Cartesian formula, and so, therefore, I'm thinking about it, and look how beautiful it is. There's so much beauty all around us. So much beauty. And that beauty has to enter the equation, too. I played this song today especially because it is Hamparzum, it is Ascension, and this whole thing unfolds, the Anush poem unfolds on the feast of Hamparzum, which is, there was a small tradition of picking fortunes. And Tumanya makes the point of showing that, you know, those fortunes, what a superstition. You believe in a small little piece of paper that comes out of a cookie or comes out of a water well, whatever the case is. I mean, you believe that your entire destiny is in that little piece of paper? Wake up. Your destiny is in your hands. Wake up. God gives you the strength. He gives you the courage to take on life. And so, beautiful story. I invite you to check out Hovhannes Tumanyan's Anush poem, definitely the opera. I'm sure that we could find some stuff and put it up on our show notes for today. And, what do you know about that? There you go. Lucky you. Those of you in the United Kingdom, check this out. First UK performance, Armenian folk opera based on Hovhannes Tumanyan's epic poem. It's going to be performed, at the Tabernacle in London, England, in United Kingdom, it says. And you know what? We will put a link on our show notes. Almost makes me want to just like drop everything and get out there. Let's see, when is this? July 6th. Do check it out if you're there. Wow, what an incredible opportunity.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in.
Yes, the piggies. Something funny happened this morning. I have to share this with you, okay? Hamparzum. Today is Ascension. Now, it is not one of the major feast days of the Armenian Church, or of the Christian Church. You know that there's five major feast days: Christmas, Easter, Transfiguration, the Assumption of the Holy Virgin Mary, and of course the Elevation of the Holy Cross. And these are recognized throughout the ancient Christian world. And Hampartzum, or Ascension, 40 days after Easter, is not one of those, but still there's a lot of reverence. It signals the beginning of the apostolic tradition. The disciples become apostles, and then they receive on Pentecost the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, definitely, we celebrate it by offering the Holy Eucharist. In the Armenian Church, it calls for the Holy Eucharist to be celebrated. And so, too, here in the Southern California area, we got together because, you know, it is a work day. It's difficult to round up people. And I was asked to offer the homily, the sermon, to sermonize, I guess, right? at the Hollywood Church. And that's where we all gathered from throughout the Southern California area. And we offered the Holy Eucharist there. Beautiful, beautiful service. Father Khajag, nice voice. I really enjoy his voice. One of the newer priests. He offered the Divine Liturgy. And it was a very solemn, beautiful morning. A lot of fun, too. I have to tell you that the people in the church, can't tell you that it was full, but, you know, not bad for a work day. So, after the service had finished, the Archbishop was there, and I'd say about four or five, I don't know, maybe even a little more, six or seven clergymen, and in procession we were led to the hall where there was going to be a luncheon on the occasion of Hampartzum. So the Archbishop, as we're proceeding to the hall and we're in procession, he says, why don't we sing one of the more popular cultural songs, Hampartzum Yaila. So we started singing, Ambidagit, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And the people following along. And we get to this beautiful hall, banquet hall, right next door to the church. And there we're going to have the Hampartzum lunch. We open the doors. It's packed with people.
Everywhere there's lots of piggies living piggy lives. You can see them out for dinner with their piggy wives, clutching forks and knives to eat the bacon.
Yeah, I mentioned that it was kind of funny. I got to tell you, as a younger priest, I would it used to cause me all kinds of concern. It still does, but in a different way. I would be very self-blaming. I would say, what are we doing wrong? And in fact, I saw this in a few situations. I saw it back in the 70s when I was still before I was a priest, and then I saw it at my parishes, and I had a real easy solution. I would just lock up the doors. But still, that's not saying that people would come to church. It was just saying that people maybe came to a closed door and ended up in church, right? But how do you make that church relevant so that people will say that there's something important over here? And that's the conversation we're having throughout all of our broadcasts here on Apostle. It's the conversation we've had many times on Compass with Linda. It's this conversation that we need to have if we're really taking this seriously. What could be more important? I mean, you've got the Holy Eucharist in the church, and a stone's throw away, you've got the dinner over there. Okay, now, you've got two of them. You've got this delicious food, and then you've got this food which will satisfy your soul and just take care of you forever, right? Remember what Jesus says? He who takes me, I am the living water. You know, you drink of me, you'll never thirst. He who eats me shall have eternal life. Okay, now, you go inside and you have your pork chops. Well, you'll be really full. You'll be very satisfied. But you know what? You'll hunger again. But when you have God, that hunger goes away because you know you're doing something right. And so you have this to offer. That's the Holy Eucharist. That's what's being offered. And people are preferring. They're preferring the pork chops. So we could do self-blaming and say, well, you know, the Armenian Church hasn't prepared the people. We can blame communism, you know, because the atheist came in and communism for 70 years. But hey, folks, check the calendar. It's been 20 years since communism fell, okay? It's been 20 years that the church has had free reign over the people and being able to bring back the people, the wandering sheep. You could blame the genocide. You could say, well, the Turks did a number on the church by killing off the elite, the intelligentsia on April 24th. And by doing that, they broke down the church, the structure of the church. Yeah, but that was like 100 years ago, okay? So we can blame other people, but here's a blame that we need to accept. That this is what society is giving us. This is where we're being pointed to. And I want you to just think about that for a moment. I'm going to go into it in just a little bit more detail. I mean, we've come to a point where we're being pointed to, okay? We're being told that it is not important to have these... Well, to have this understanding of love. It is not important to worship in a community. Actually, community is kind of passé. It's kind of on the way out. Because you could basically do a community in two dimensions. You have a screen, you turn it on, and you've got a community. You've got a built-in community, whether it's on Facebook, on Twitter, whether it's a community via email. You basically can sit around and order everything you want without that human interaction. And community is so vital in the Christian experience that without that community, really, you can't express what Jesus intended us to do, right? His intention, actually today, right, it comes down to one commandment. It says, and teach them, part of the ascension command is go out and teach everyone to observe all that I have commanded you. Well, what did I command you? To love one another. Well, you need people. You need that one another to love. Now, I can make the transition right here from the dinner, the pork chops, to a very special dinner that's coming up in a few weeks. But you're going to have to wait for that. I'm going to share that with you coming up in a few minutes. But I do want to point to something else. Last Friday, right after I did the show on Thursday, I went to one of my son's graduation. It was from the University of Southern California. And the Dean of Religious Life led the invocation that day. And I have to tell you, it was a really very powerful invocation because it really called on each of us to look within. But something struck me in that invocation. He mentioned that at the School of Philosophy, there were names of brilliant philosophers who had given us patterns of living, ways to live our life. And he mentioned Aristotle and Plato, and he mentioned other... Well, he also mentioned Buddha, and he mentioned some other leaders of the religious world, along with the philosophers. He didn't mention Jesus. I thought to myself, this is kind of, you know, it's not strange, but it is kind of unique that we're finding ourselves in this situation where if you mention the name of Jesus, it's that puts it into a religious camp. But if we talk about all these other people, whether it's Muhammad or whether it's Moses or Vishnu or Buddha, we're talking about philosophies. And you know, you can get away with that. It was just interesting. So anyway, my son, he graduated with a degree in philosophy, policy and law. And at the end, you know, each of the groups had their satellite graduations, and then we were invited to the philosophy department, where we had a small little reception. That is interesting. I went to the building there, and sure enough, there were philosophers' names. Well, you expect the philosophers, those names to be up there on the wall. Now, one of them caught my attention because it was Emerson. Next to Emerson was inscribed, "Great men are they who see that spiritual is stronger than any material force, that thoughts rule the world." Interesting, huh? They had this up there. And then, well, yeah, I didn't expect to see Jesus up there, but guess what? On the other wall, it is inscribed with these words, "He that loseth his life shall keep it unto life eternal." Wow, there it is. It's a Jesus quote right up there. The School of Philosophy. Now, what is it about Jesus that people don't like to accept? What is it? Why don't they want to accept it? And it gave me an opportunity to really stand back and think about it. Is it because of the church and the church's perception? Is it because the church places Jesus among all the teachers in a place of primacy, namely that he is God? And people want to refuse this and reject that. And by doing that, are we, as the church, doing a disservice to the message that Christ is speaking? And these are things that we think about. These are things that are pressing, because I firmly believe that if Jesus were here right now and somebody asked him, somebody put a microphone up to him and said, okay, you're back 2,000 years later, what would you have wanted people to remember, your message or your name? I think his message was paramount to his ministry. It was the message of love. And I think it's very important that we understand who he is. We understand that it is the incarnation of God. And as St. John the Evangelist tells us, that God is love. And therefore, Jesus is the incarnation of love, is the incarnation of God in all that he does. It is the message of sacrifice that is given through his lips and at the same time acted out by his life, the sacrifice he makes on the cross and the resurrection of the empty tomb. Okay, it is that time. As promised, I'm going to share with you something exciting that's coming up. And after that, we're going to do the last segment of our show. I'm going to tie it up. And I'm using that word especially, tie it up. It's a very special Ascension Day, Ascension Day surprise, coming your way in just a couple minutes. First, let's hear Susie with how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to The Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Okay, this is our commercial time, and she tells you like it is how you can get involved and what you can do to be a partner in this ministry. But here's something exciting. June 10th, we're going to have a silent auction to help fund some of the extra projects that we've added on this year, especially the domestic violence, our outreach programs, all needing funding. So we're going to have a very special event, and that is June 10th. We're going to have a silent auction. And this is at the home of David and Margaret McGrublians, friends of the ministry. They're opening up their beautiful home to us, and so that we could do this. Now, here's how you can get involved, okay? I know you're all around and you say, oh, I'd love to come, but I'm so far away. We are going to auction off a very special item, okay? You ready for this one? Okay, here it is. It is dinner for two. And a special guest appearance on Next Step and Compass. It is dinner for two along with the entire Apostle cast and crew. Yes! Is that fantastic or what? I know you'd love it. Yes, not only with me. You have to be with Susie. There's dinner with Susie, with Linda, with Ani. Bubbles Ani, yes! With Vahe, who does all the background stuff, with Ken, our engineer. I mean, is there something even better than this? No. Not only do you get to come to Apostle, share a dinner with us, you get to be a part of a recording too. And just think about it. Thousands of people tuning in and downloading a podcast where you're on it. We'd love to have you. And I don't know how we're going to do it. I know some of you are far away and everything. We'll figure out something. But it's a way for you to get involved by bidding on this item. You can bid on this item by sending a bid to the Epostle email address. Okay, and we will include it on there. Right now, there's no starting bid. By June 10th, we'll see where it arrives, where it comes to, and we'll kind of set where it is. But you can send a bid to feedback@epostle.net. Sound fun? Yeah, I know it does. Well, before we end today's show, I told you I'm going to tie it together. Got to be honest with you. That was misleading. I'm going to untie it, okay? We're going to untie today. What are we untying? The tell. Tell. There's a word for you, huh? It means the string. Now, okay, let's back up a little bit. I have been carrying on my arm this piece of string that has 7 knots in it. For the last 40 days, I've been carrying it on my arm, and today on Hampartzum, tradition is that you take it off, because you put it on, okay, you put it on at Easter time. Now, let me back up even further. I don't do these kind of things. Never was one to do these kind of things, but this year, Susie came up to me, and she had done one of these strings, and she said, I'm putting it on you. So she put it on, been carrying it for 40 days. And I thought it'd be a nice little experiment to see what is it about this string, and I gotta be honest with you, it was a constant reminder. Being on my arm, it was a constant reminder. And it reminds me that, you know, in church we have symbols. We have little things like crosses. We talk about the power of the cross. Well, we use symbols. We use definitely like the candle. So anything that could remind us of something greater than ourselves, and, you know, we use those kind of things. So this string, the way it originates on the night of the Passion, namely on Holy Thursday, our tradition is that we read 7 gospel accounts of the Lord's Passion. And so as those are read, this has evolved through the ages. I want to say through the ages, but definitely I know through the last century. It has evolved where people would take a small little string and they would make little knots in the string for every gospel that was written. So at the end, you have this small little string that has 7 knots on it, corresponding to each of the gospels that was read that evening. My guess is that probably it got late into the night. The service as it is right now, it goes until about 11, 12 o'clock, midnight. My guess is that people probably got tired, probably hearing the chanting and listening to things, much like the disciples. Remember, Jesus said, stay awake with me. And while he went off to pray, the disciples fell asleep. The spirit is willing, says the Lord, but the flesh is weak. So in a way to stay awake through the readings of those narratives, I imagine along the way people started doing this just to give them something to do while listening, just to keep themselves awake. So they braided these small little pieces of string. And the tradition is you put it on at Easter time and that Thursday and you carry it for 40 days until Hampartzum. And so today we take it off. And I am going to take it off with you right now because I got to tell you, I was not a real fan of this. And the reason was because of the way it was presented to me. People coming up to me, don't you have string? Do you have string with it? And people got all hung up about the string rather than the purpose for it. Much like most of the things that we do in the church. People get hung up on, how many candles should I light? What should I do? Which hand should I use? Should I wear a veil that covers my ears too, or just the top of my head? Instead of understanding what the purpose is, what the idea of humility is, what the idea of service is. And with this string, it's another reminder of the knots that are placed in our lives. Each of these knots, these 7 knots in this small little string, reminded me of our Lord's Passion, of the denial that people, they denied him, they betrayed him. of the difficulties that he went through that night on the road to the cross, to the crucifixion. It reminded me that, yes, this is what happens in our lives. We get all knotted up. But the power of the resurrection is one to remind us of those knots in our lives. And those seven could be all kinds of things. They could be relationships with our family members. One of those knots could be our health issues that we have. One of the knots could be our financial issues, difficulties. Each of them seeming that, well, in a sense that they knot us up. And knotting us up into the point that we can't function. And Jesus is the one that frees us. On the day of ascension, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He frees us. This is not somebody who could lie. This is somebody who tells us that in him we find the strength to free us. In him we find the ability to rise from our circumstances, to rise from our sins, and really maximize our potential. Be the person that God wants us to be. And so with you, my dear Next Step listeners, I'm going to cut this string, and with it will be cut the seven knots. With it will end this period of Easter time, and we today celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, ascending into heaven and then challenging us to go out into the world, to preach the gospel, to teach people all that he has commanded us and the promise that he gives us, that he is with us until the close of the ages. And with that promise, we understand that we can never be in servitude to anything, that we are made free. There is nothing that holds us back from being all that God wants us to be. Happy Ascension Day. Here you go. That's it. It's off of me. God bless you. Well, we are at the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I want to invite you to get involved at our website, inhisshoes.org, as well as epostle.net. Easy to remember, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. Apostle with an E, epostle.net. Hey, listen, also, remember, hey, you can have dinner with us and be a member of this team. Really easy. June 10th is our silent auction. Get involved. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. For the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ani's coming back next week with her bubbles, Vahe doing all the background work, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again and hopefully join us for a dinner as we take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.